This morning's sermon is called The Living Water, Part 1, from John chapter 4, verse 1 through 15. As we continue to go through the Gospel of John, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, a Samaritan woman meets her Messiah. This is a wonderful story of our Lord Jesus sharing the gospel himself with a sinful Samaritan woman by a well. It's about her coming to salvation and then being used by God to bring others to the Lord, to her village, that they would come to the Lord themselves. As we read in verse 49, as we will eventually get there, it says, "And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in Jesus because of the word of the woman who testified, 'He has told me all that I ever did.'" Jesus' humanity is on display this morning in this passage as he's weary and thirsty, sitting by a well. And Jesus' deity is also on display in this passage because he meets a woman that he had never met in his life, and he knows everything about her, just like you and me. Let's take a look at verses 1 through 4 in our passage. It says, "Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John the Baptist, though Jesus himself did not baptize, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee. But he needed to go through Samaria." It says that Jesus left Judea and departed again to Galilee. What was Jesus doing in Judea? He was preaching repentance. He was preaching the kingdom of God while his disciples were baptizing many people. Mark recorded in his gospel that Jesus was saying to the people, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel," which is in Mark 1:15. Just like John the Baptist was doing, he was preaching repentance, he was preaching the kingdom of God, but Jesus was doing miracles. John the Baptist wasn't doing miracles, but Jesus was doing miracles, and the multitudes of people were coming to him to be baptized by his disciples. Verse 4 says that Jesus needed to go through Samaria. There were other routes to get to Samaria and other ways to go to Galilee. It says that he left Judea and he wanted to go to Galilee, but he had to go through Samaria. Why would he choose this route when there are other routes? Because he had a divine appointment with a Samaritan woman by the well. Just a little background. During this time, Jewish people had no dealings with the Samaritans. The Samaritans intermarried with other pagan nations, which was forbidden. So the Jewish people looked at them as half-breeds and wanted nothing to do with them. The Jewish people would not even go through Samaria, even if it was the closest route. They would go around. They would skirt up through the Jordan River. They would avoid this area because of these people were marrying into pagan nations. But Jesus, it says, he needed to go through Samaria on that day. Jesus went into a hostile area. He had purposes. He violates Jewish customs. He violates their traditions, because he wanted to bring the good news of the gospel of grace to this area. God's grace is universal. God offers salvation to the whole world, listen, regardless of your circumstances, regardless of your past. Right, we read in John 3:16, right? "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but everlasting life. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whoever. We do not know this woman's name. We know she's a Samaritan woman from the scriptures. But Jesus knows her name. He knew everything about her. He knew that she had five husbands and living with a boyfriend. He knew she was an outcast. He knew she was an immoral woman. He knew she was living in adultery. But this was not a barrier for Jesus. This was not a barrier that he could not save this woman from her sin. That's how amazing our God is. You cannot be so bad that God cannot save you. Nor can you be so good that you do not need to be saved. Amen? No one is beyond God's reach. Let's take a look at verses 5 and 6. The Apostle John continued, and he said, So he, Jesus, came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of the ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour, which is noon, heat of the day. Here we see Jesus' humanity on full display as he is weary and thirsty from walking from Judea to Sychar. He's tired. He's exhausted. Just so you know, this would have been a 20-mile walk, and it's not flat ground. 20 miles he spent walking to meet with this one Samaritan woman by the well. Jesus, very tired, very exhausted, and he's thirsty. Yes, he's fully man, he's fully God, but he's also fully man. Right? We need to understand that. That's what the scriptures tell us. So he knows what it's like to be tired. He knows what it's like to be weary. He knows what it's like to be exhausted. He knows what it's like to be thirsty. Though he is the eternal God, he took on human flesh, became a man, and he took on the limitations of a body. So he could experience tiredness, weariness, exhaustion, listen, pain, listen, suffering, in order that he might understand your tiredness, your exhaustion, your pain, your suffering, your limitations. Listen to what it says in Hebrews 4:15. For we do not have a high priest, Jesus, who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Jesus knows everything that we go through from time to time in our lives. Listen to what it says in Philippians 2, 6 and 8. Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it to be robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in likeness of men and being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself, became obedient to the point of death, even death of the cross. He became a man. Jesus set aside his power, his glory, to see what it's like to be us. When Jesus came to earth to save us and redeem us and reconcile us back to God through him, he also came so he could understand what it's like to be human. He became a man himself. So when you go to the Lord and say, Lord, I am so tired. I am so exhausted, Lord. I am weak. I am in pain, Lord. I am suffering. Jesus can say, I know what it's like. And this is why he has so much compassion on us. Because he knows what it's like to cry, weep, lament. He knows. Let's take a look at verses 7 through 9. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to Jesus, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Drawing water was a woman's work. The men worked in the field, and this was a daily routine. They did this every day. They needed water every day. This was also a common place for women to come together and fellowship as they drew their water for the day. But women didn't do this at noon, during the heat of the day. They would do these chores either early in the morning when it's cool, or they would do this in the evening when it's cool. But this woman came at noontime when it was very hot. She came alone, most likely because she's an outcast. She probably had a bad reputation in town, being married 5 times, living with some guy. She was living an adulterous life. Safe to say, she was probably living in fornication and didn't want to hear it from the other women. Probably the reason why. No one comes to the well at noontime, the heat of the day. Very hot. She comes when no one's there at noontime. Because she doesn't want to hear it from the other women. The Samaritans believed in the first 5 books of the Bible, the Torah, the laws of Moses. They believed them. Which means she knew. She knew the Word of God, the first 5 books, and all those other women that were by the well knew as well. They believed it. So she would have been a real outcast to these other women. She probably went to this well at noon because she knew no one's going to be here at noon. But to her surprise, there is someone waiting on the well for her. Jesus Christ, her Messiah. He's on that well. He walked 20 miles to meet with this one woman who's going to be used by God to bring others to Christ. He is sitting at the well waiting for this woman. She's about to meet her Messiah, God in the flesh. It says that Jesus said to her when she got there, give me a drink. Now, it looks like Jesus is the needy one, right? He's thirsty, he's tired, he has no bucket to draw water, but he's not the needy one. Did you know that Jesus never, ever did a miracle for himself? All the miracles he did for other people. Can you imagine? He could have just said, hey, I want some spring water. Pew, done. No, not our God. He only did it for other people. All the healings, fed the 5,000, fed the 4,000, it was for them. That's how amazing God is. Never did a miracle for himself in all the scriptures that we see. Never. After Jesus asked for a drink of water, here's her response. How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? She recognizes that Jesus, being a Jewish man, but Jewish men don't speak to women in public, especially to a Samaritan woman. She's caught off guard, like, whoa, wait a minute. She's probably thinking, Jesus doesn't even know who I am. This man doesn't know my reputation. This man doesn't know about my immorality. This man doesn't know that I'm living an adulterous life. But he does. He knows her better than she knows her. And this is not a barrier for Jesus. He came to save this woman. He came for this reason, to seek and save the lost. And no matter your past, you can be forgiven by the grace of God. He gives this woman full mercy, full grace, regardless of her past. Full mercy, full grace. She tells Jesus, hey, you're a Jew, I'm a Samaritan. And Jewish people have no dealings with us. And you know what Jesus does? Goes in one ear and out the other. You read the scriptures, right? It's like she never said it. He could care less. He totally doesn't even acknowledge her. He just looks at her. He came to give her life in his name. Jesus offers salvation, listen, to whoever comes to him with all their heart and asks for forgiveness. Jesus loved the Samaritans. He wanted to save them from their sin. He had a love for these people. We know this. We read in the scriptures. He tells us the parable of the Good Samaritan. You guys know that, right? The parable of the Good Samaritan that Jesus tells us in the scriptures, right? How about remember the 10 lepers that Jesus healed? Guess who was the only man to come back and thank him? A Samaritan man. He's the only one that came back and thanked Jesus for healing him and gave glory to God. Jesus said, hey, where are the other 9 that I healed? I don't know, but I'm here to thank you. The Samaritan man. Just tell us right in the scriptures. No one loved these people, but Jesus did. And he came to help them, just like he came to help us. Let's take a look at verse 10 and 12. So after she said, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? Here's Jesus' reply in verse 10. Jesus answered and said to her, oh, look at this right here. Look at this, right? You see this? If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. You catch that? If you would have asked me to save you, I would have. I would have given you living water. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get this living water? She obviously is still confused, right? Verse 12, are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock? This is amazing. This is amazing right here. Look at this. Jesus starts out thirsty. Give me a drink, right? Physical need. Right? Physical need. And now he identifies her as being the thirsty one who needs living water. Spiritual water. This is amazing. He flips this right back on her. Right? He says, and just so you know, I'm the source of living water. right? Eternal life, salvation. She still doesn't understand at this point, right? Jesus tells her, I'm thirsty, but you're thirsty spiritually. You gave me a cup of water. I can give you living water. Powerful. Wow. Full mercy, regardless of her past. Full grace, regardless of her past. You see how amazing God is? Oh, man. We get the gospel right here in verse 10. If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked me. And look what he says. And I would have given you living water. If you knew the gift of God, the free gift of salvation, the gospel of grace, it's free to all those who come to Christ with all their heart. Grace is a gift, right? A gift, you know a gift, right? That's something that's given to you, you never earned. Right? It's a gift. That's what grace is. We're saved by grace. You didn't earn it. God gave it to you, said, here. This is grace, right? Like our grace offerings in the morning, right? I call them grace offerings. It's a gift of God to His church in His name. Here, God, you bless me, I'm going to bless you. This is yours anyway. You gave me grace, I want to give you grace. We're saved by grace. It's free. It's free. Here you go. You can receive the gift of salvation, or listen, you can reject it. God gives us the free will to decide. Right? I've told you guys this many times before. God values a relationship based on choice. What's that mean? He wants you to want Him. If you don't want God in your life, don't worry about it. He won't come. It's that simple. I'm just being straight up. If you don't want God in your life, just don't worry about it. He won't come. But if you want Him, oh, He's coming. He's going to get a hold of your heart like you never had, like you never felt. Jesus tells us all throughout the scriptures, this is what he says, just come. Just come to me with all your heart and I'll save you from your sin. Just come. Just come and ask. Right? What's James say? You have not because you ask not. Right? That's like a lot of people, right? You have not because you ask not. Jesus was telling this woman, if you only knew who stands before you, offering you this free gift, he says, of God, he says, you would have asked him and he would have given it to you, living water. All you got to do is ask. And listen to what she does. She gives a total physical response. She says, sir, you have nothing to draw with. And the well is deep. Where then do you get this living water? She's still lost. This woman has no concern for her spiritual life at this point. Then she says, are you greater than Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself and his sons and his livestock? A little sarcastic, right? A little mockery here, right? What are you talking about? Are you greater than Jacob? All I can just think Jesus probably said, I'm glad you asked, right? Right? Are you greater than Jacob sitting on this well? I'm so glad you asked. I can only think that's what Jesus was thinking right there. She's like, just so you know, Jacob, by the way, he dug this well 2,000 years ago, and it works perfectly. What well are you talking about? You see how spiritually lost she is? At least for now. She's still thinking about physical water, material things, not spiritual water, not spiritual things. Jesus is saying, I know you're thinking about physical water, but I'm not. I'm talking about spiritual water, living water, eternal life. Have you ever shared the gospel with someone? Have you shared the gospel with someone and you couldn't have said it any better? I mean, it came out perfect. And you think they're going to drop to their knees, repent and believe and receive Christ? And they look at you and go, huh? Come again? This is what's going on right here in this passage. Right? Have you ever done that? You get a physical response back. They have no concern over their spiritual life. You just shared the gospel. You couldn't have done it any better. And there's no spiritual discernment whatsoever. They are spiritually dead. But our Lord, He's not giving up. This is a long passage. It's probably going to be a 3-part sermon. And man, is it a wonderful story. Unless you guys want to stay here till 3. Probably not. Right? No concern about their soul. No concern about their spirit. No concern about the afterlife. No spiritual concern at all. They're full of apathy. Which means, you know what, right? They're not concerned about the life after death. Right? Apathy. Full of it. Some people are drunk on apathy. They're so lost. They have no sense of their spiritual well-being that lives forever after this life. Let's take a look at our final 3 verses. Verses 13 and 5 through 15. Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." The woman said to Jesus, "Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw water." Don't have to come back here anymore at noon. Jesus is telling her, if you drink this water, you'll be back here tomorrow at noontime. You're going to be thirsty again. This water will never satisfy you. Right? Like the living water that comes, that Jesus gives. Jesus declared in verse 14 that he can give a life of complete satisfaction. Your soul will be satisfied in him. Listen, forever, for eternity, your soul will never thirst again. Unlike the flesh, that is never satisfied. The flesh is always craving for more. Right? I told you guys this before. The flesh and the spirit, every day are going at it. Your flesh loves the things of the world. The spirit hates them, loves the things of God. It's a battle every day when you live out in the world. Every day. Your flesh is battling God's spirit. Especially if you're not walking in the spirit. Life in the flesh is never fulfilling and never satisfied. Whatever your flesh desires or whatever it is you're chasing, it will never be satisfied outside of Christ. Your bucket of water has holes in it. Sorry to tell you that. But Jesus' doesn't. There's no leaks in his bucket. Jesus is telling us there is a quality of life that is far above the material, physical realm. And if you're living in the material, physical realm more than the spiritual realm, you are living in an unsatisfied place. So the scriptures tell us that man's nature is deeper than that. And the realm of the spirit is far more superior than the realm of the flesh. If you are constantly chasing after material things, physical things, you will never be satisfied. You will never be satisfied. I'll give you a classic example right here. Think of the Hollywood stars. They've got everything. Big homes, nicest cars, best toys, endless money, and most of them are the most miserable people inside. They are the most unhappy people in the world. Why do you think they turn to drugs and alcohol? Because their flesh is never satisfied. Never. There's got to be something else. They're always chasing what the flesh loves. And sadly, most of them, this is the only heaven they'll ever know. Listen, the book of Ecclesiastes tells us, don't get hung up on the things of the world because they are perishing. Don't get caught up on worldly things. In the end, it won't matter. Stay focused on God and serve Him only, which is everlasting. Book of Ecclesiastes. Words of wisdom. Life in the flesh is temporal. You need to understand that. Just go back, listen, just go back to when you were 20 years old. Compared to now, right? Anybody need readers? Did you always need readers? Me either. Right? We're breaking down. I don't know if you've noticed. We're not going the other direction. Life is temporal. Short. Eternity is forever. I went to the dentist a couple weeks ago just for a regular routine cleaning. Dentist tells me, Sean, your tooth in the back is going to need a crown. It's perishing. Well, she didn't say that, but that's what I thought. I'm always thinking biblical. I'm like, okay, guess I got to get a crown. Never had one. Okay. Trust in you. Probably true. Our teeth are perishing, right? Little by little. They're not the same they used to be, right? I'll just give you another short story. About 3 or 4 months ago, my knee was really hurting me. And I happened to be going to the VA Medical Center to get my yearly checkup. So my doc said, hey, is there anything going on that I need to know about or anything? I said, actually, there is. I said, my knee has been really bothering me lately. He said, okay. He said, well, while you're here, Sean, I'll send you down to the x-ray room. We'll get an x-ray on it, and I'll have my nurse call you when we get the results. I said, okay, fair enough. Thank you. I'm on my way home. His nurse calls. Sean, yes, we got the x-rays back from your knee. I said, oh, great. You got arthritis. I'm like, arthritis? What do you mean? I'm only 56 years old. Isn't that for old people? She says the cartilage is perishing. Well, she didn't say perishing. Again, that's what I thought. We're breaking down. Arthritis. Never thought that. I thought maybe I had a tear in my knee or something. Arthritis. Listen, the Bible says that everything we see with our eyes is slowly perishing. That's what the Word of God tells us. Right? We see it. We are perishing slowly. That's why Jesus says, listen, just keep your eyes on me. Don't worry about your physical body. Worry about your spiritual body, which is going on after this life forever. Before we close, I want to share with you, if you brought your Bible with you this morning, then we'll close. If you brought your Bible with you this morning, I want to go to 2 Book Corinthians. Paul writes about this very thing. I figured I'd share it with you. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. When you get there, jump down to verse 16. Second Corinthians, chapter 4, verse 16 through 18. Listen carefully. Therefore, right? We know this is Paul's writing, right? Therefore, he writes this all the time. Therefore, he says, now that you know this, we do not lose heart, even though our, listen, even though our outward man is perishing. I like that, right? Yet, he says, the inward man is being renewed day by day. Whoa. Thank you, Lord. For our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, he's saying down here on earth, it's only going to be for a moment because this is life is this short, right? Eternity is this big. He says, light affliction, right? He says, which is but for a moment, is working for us far more exceedingly in eternal way to glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary. Right? We just talked about that. But the things which are not seen are eternal. The spiritual realm. Get to know that verse. We may be breaking down on the outside, but our inward man and woman in Christ, oh, we're being renewed day by day. The Holy Spirit is preparing us to be with our Savior. Sanctification. One last thing. I'm not sure if you noticed in our passage today, this morning's passage, but this Samaritan woman started out calling Jesus a Jew, which he was. Then she called him Sir. By the end of this passage, guess what she's going to be calling him? Master. Lord. Savior. This is an incredible story of this woman with her Messiah. Absolutely incredible. So to be continued next Sunday. It's probably going to be a three-part sermon, a lot here. Let's pray. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for speaking to us this morning, your word directly in our hearts, Lord. Oh, your mercy, your grace is for everyone, whoever shall believe. We thank you for this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.